And the testimonies that Mike Bickle have over the years have really moved me. It was through those teachings I learned about Bob Jones, Paul Kane, and what God is doing, and moved by what God is doing in the house of prayer. And so when like 2010, when Andrew was over at our house, I'm praying that one of the things that comes out of my mouth is, Andrew, you got to build a house of prayer. And Andrew, I thought, I don't know what you're talking about. But in time, a house of prayer was established in Izmir. But that's connecting the dots. A house of prayer in Izmir, in part, got birth, so to speak, because there was a house of prayer in Kansas City. And then after a few years, we got to know Pastor Juan Ansuat. And miracles are happening right now in Thailand for the first time in its Christian history. We just had last week a conversation with Pastor Juan Ansua, me, I, and Pete were in the conversation. People are hungry for Jesus. They're open to Jesus. And here's another sign of miracle. Christians are not fighting one another. They're not fighting over one another over points of doctrine. It's a move of God. And north and south, and there is a youth movement. 5,000 will be gathering May 2nd to the 5th in Chiang Mai. And the man who's leading it, he's 70 years old, and he fasts and prays 40 days, three times a year. And I'm thinking, okay. You know, I'll fast accidentally, maybe a meal, you know, but like, that's like serious. But he's been praying for the youth. And so we asked, I asked, like, what's the reason? What do you think this is happening? And Pastor Juana said, it's prayer and worship. You can't explain it humanly. It's prayer and worship. And so Pastor Juana actually got some training at IHOP Kansas City. So when we met them the first time, we wanted to do a little treat. So we had Ed on video, Jay Thomas on video, Matt Park on video. And it was like seeing celebrities that are like, oh, that's that. That's like Jay Thomas. They were so blessed. So the House of Prayer in Bangkok got established through the influence of Kansas City. And for a few years, Kenneth Bay, if you know who he is, had a House of Prayer in a hotel in Dandong. So Pastor Tom and Jimmy, you know where that is. When it's cold like this, we call it Dandong cold. Like that is Dandong cold. It is so cold. And I remember spending time with Kenneth, and that's when the stirring of North Korea arose. And he said, I'm going to show you some places where we want to do North Korean ministry. I remember if we weren't thinking about Jesus, we were thinking about, this is too cold. And so we start praying for North Korea. So it's amazing the impact a faithful people can have globally speaking. And they've been going at it, so faithful. And so I just want to honor Ed. Ed and Linda have been there. They're core leaders of the House of Prayer. They were there day one. And day minus whatever, 10 years, because they were part of that prayer thing. They didn't begin May 7th, 99. They were already involved in prayer. And so there are some interviews, Ed, I don't know if you've seen the YouTube, there's some old, anyway, interviews with Mike and Ed, and their interview about the beginnings of House of Prayer. But we are here to honor that movement, and we are here to recognize the movement upon us, because the way our churches has been shaped and formed by what God has been doing and the people of God in Kansas City who have been faithful in the face of controversy, in the face of criticism, in the face of whatever. And just the leadership of Mike Bickle, who will not fight, who will not point fingers, who will just keep his head down and just pray and worship the Lord and be truth to what he gets. And so Kansas City has had a profound impact in my life and in the lives of so many people here. And that house of prayer movement, I would say, it will continue to have important influence, because without prayer, our young people will be lost. Our next generation will struggle and be lost. And so we need more prayer now than ever before. We need more prophetic prayer in terms of hearing God's voice. Prayer isn't a matter of quantity of words. It's a matter of hearing God's word and releasing his words. And so we are profoundly thankful for Ed and Linda. I don't know how they do it. They've been here not that long, since Friday or midday, and they're still here with us. They didn't get on a plane and escape, but I wouldn't blame them. You know, if they like didn't show up today, like, where's Ed and Linda? They ran away. I go, yeah, you know, I would too, because they've had a long day Friday ministering. They had a long day yesterday, just meeting people, praying for people. When I got home, I was just calculating, you know, since lunch, that's more than 12 hours. And I don't know how many hours of sleep you got, but I was feeling so bad for them last night. I go, oh my gosh. You know. When I see them, they can't help but minister lovingly and graciously. If I'm them, I would just like, in my mind, I'm calculating. I'm tired. Next, okay, Jesus loves you. Be good. Next, Jesus loves you. Okay, you know, I'd be really tempted to do that. But it's like Joe DiMaggio. I don't know, Tom, this is for you. So he was playing so hard in a meaningless game, and one of the reporters said, why do you play that way? And his comment was, you never know if in the stands there's a fan who's seeing me play for the first time. And for them, that's how they minister. It doesn't matter who you are, what age you are. The way they minister is that you are the most important person, and we're going to take our time hearing God's word for you. And that is just so challenging and inspirational. I just want to say that to you. Even last night, I go, oh my gosh, this is getting too long. And yet, I never saw a sense of hurry. I saw a little bit of fatigue, but they didn't, you know. But they took their time and made sure everyone got the best. The first time person or the last person. And so it's just an honor for me to even share that in front of you. Suzanne and I, let me just say, love the church in the sense of we feel really blessed. And so Suzanne's been thinking, how do I want to bless? And so she wants to pay for the flowers and talk to Angela. Like, Angela's so gifted. And so the flowers are from Suzanne. And the food, Elder Pete is a master chef and a caterer, okay? And so I just want to thank at least three people, Pete, Suzanne, Angela, for putting in the work. And I just want to thank Ed and Linda as well. And if you've been touched by their ministry while they're here, you can give to Ed and Linda. It's probably showing, but I've memorized it. It's through PayPal. Ed Hackett, E.D., H-A-C-K-E-T-T at ihopkc.org, okay? So very simple, Ed Hackett, two T's, at ihopkc.org. Okay, perfect. That's good. My memory's short-term, so after, in about 30 minutes, it's going to be gone. And then after the message, we will have ministry time, and we'll have a very short fire tunnel. And I'm going to read the instructions when that time comes after the message. But I think it's going to be powerful, and I'll read some prep notes before us. It won't be a long fire tunnel. I think it'll be 6 people. If Suzanne joins me, it'll be 7 people, you know, and so it'll be a short, intense fire. Okay? It's like an air fryer. You know, it's a small, but it could be, you just need 400 degrees for like 2 minutes, and you're just burnt to a crisp. So, So we'll give you instruction. Okay? And so, I just want to thank Ed and Linda by having you stand, and we just pray for you as we did on Friday. If we could just pray for them, and if you can stand up and face the congregation, we just want to bless them. Lord, we thank you. Like all of us, Father, you created us. And Lord Jesus, through your life, death, and resurrection, you redeemed us. And Jesus, you called us. And all these are true of Ed and Linda, and you taking them through this amazing journey with you. And we thank you that there are people in God's kingdom, of course, all around the world, Lord, through their faithfulness and humility and prayerfulness and just love for you, Lord, have been positioned to bless so many people. And Ed and Linda are just two of the many saints who have been a source of blessing, a source of life, source of impartation, a source of revelation of the nature of God and who Jesus is. And so even though we've known them for many years, we thank you once again for who they are in you. We thank you for their lives in you. We thank you for the largeness of their hearts in embracing everyone that they encounter, everyone that they see, that step into their orbit, so to speak. They are able to embrace each and every person as Jesus does. And so we bless this dear, beautiful couple, and we bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless their 3 daughters and their sons-in-law. We bless their grandkids, and we bless the community in Kansas City. Sustain them with your joy, with your love, with your encouragement. Sustain them, Lord, with just your amazing delight in them. And as I even pray, Lord, I just see your delight over IHOP KC and the leaders, especially the older ones who've been just plowing without complaint. They're just committed. They just signed up for life, many of them, to love you well in the house of prayer, to be given over to intercession and intimacy. So we just honor these faithful ones. And Linda and Ed are just counted among them. And so we bless them. We bless this body of Christ, this important, beautiful, dynamic, humble, honest, fearless part of your body, your bride. And so today, Lord, we ask that you would just have your way with us. Thank you for hungry hearts. Thank you so much for the gift of hunger and desire. And we ask that you would speak and have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Come up to the front.
I just wanted to greet you and say thank you so much for that prayer. Thank you so much for your love, for your welcome to us. Thank you. But I just wanted to pray for Ed and just say we're just so honored to be among you. I could say a lot more, but I won't. So you have time to hear him, which is much more important. But I know that we are here among a people that are so important to heaven. The Lord hears your prayer. You are a beachhead in this city, this major Washington, D.C. city that is a national capital seat. And I just think that is just big. That's a big assignment. And I feel like Washington, D.C., I hope this is okay to say, but it's sort of like the American Jerusalem. It's where all, you know, people are coming and going, and there's so much power, and there's a power struggle, and there's so much happening here. This is a really big assignment. And I just want to say thank you for your presence here, for your lives here, that you're still here, that you're still standing and praying and believing. So I just honor you, and I thank you for inviting us to be a part of such a special weekend. Yes. Thank you, yes. Suzanne and Pastor John, for your hearts of love to us. Just you just deputize us in such a way that we can be ourselves fully and completely, even if we drag on forever. In prayer, because we do love you, and you're so important. So, Father, I just want to pray for my husband. Father, we just thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you, God. We say, Jesus, be high and lifted up today. You are drawing all of us into holy purpose, and you are drawing us to your Son, the desire of our heart. Father, today, let your word and words through Ed run swiftly to all of our hearts. We ask you for this and trust you for it. Amen.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Linda. Wow, I agree. You have honored us, and you always do. Over the years, we have always felt so loved and honored here. We come here actually to be blessed, to be quite honest, don't we? Because our friends, we have so many friends that we have met here now, and quite honestly, when we come here, we feel like we're among family. I mean, I'm just looking at just different ones, faces that we have fallen in love with over the 10 years. And so you've got you have a precious family here, John, Pastor John, and we love you. And we're here to honor you. I mean, 10 years. You have 10 years of continuing to, like Linda said, you know, probably be in one of the more difficult places to live on the earth. Be quite honest, you know, probably one of the greatest nations, most powerful nations. And you're right here in the capital. And we get to be among the, you know, the cattle out in Kansas City, you know. We're out in the field way out there. So we feel like we have it pretty easy compared to the daily battles and the daily things that you're walking through. But so we honor you. And I was just thinking about the 10 years, you know, 10 years of you didn't start in this building, but you've been in the building maybe 7 years or so, probably, this one, I would say. But I remember being in this building and even the initial building where the 10 years began. And I think about the prayers and the tears and the joy and the testimonies, you know, I just think about the people that have come through the doors. You know, the body of Christ that began with you, many of are here. But many others came through the doors, you know, and they came in and they wept and they worshiped and they, you know, you joined with them and then they were sent out or led to another area or whatever. God sees all of those stories and all those testimonies. It's precious to him over 10 years, you know. It's a good reason to celebrate when you think about it. Just the kindness and the loving kindness and the tender mercies of God. And I think about the promises, you know, the prayers that were prayed and promises that we felt like we, you know, that were made. And many of those were answered. You know, there's been many healings in this house. There's been, you know, many people saved. There's been people, you know, that have had their hearts renewed and their faith renewed. And there's been some disappointments. You've had all of those experiences. Every one of those is very precious to the Lord. And you know, the thing about God is that he doesn't forget. He doesn't forget anything except, thank God, he forgets our sin. Where we have blown it and we repent and we come to him. I mean, what a deal. You know, think about it. He does not forget a prayer. Like many prayers that were prayed here in this place have yet to be answered, but they're going to be answered. You know, they're still going to be answered. Many things he has said he was going to do, he's going to do. And at the same time, he doesn't forget that. He literally forgets our sin. I'm going, how do you do that? I mean, what a deal. Why would you not want to be a believer, you know? Why would, you know, the good news is absolutely, I mean, what word can you use? You know, great, good, oh my gosh, you know, we have it made. We are sons and daughters of the living God, bought with a price. We are his in all of our messed up states and all the different, you know, seasons that we go through. And I was just thinking about, just even in this room, many of you could have quit along the way. I know I could have, you know, but someone came along and kept me going. A lot of times it's my better three quarters that keeps me in the race and helps me, you know, and we help each other. But you're here today. It's a witness of your faith in God. You may be having the best day of the year and it's going to be, man, you may be on the top of the mountain. Some of you might be in the valley. You know, we go through seasons. And yet the Lord is with us. He's with us in the peaks and in the valleys, even in the pits. And he has not left us. He is so faithful. He remembers. He remembers who we are to him. We're precious to him. And you all are so precious to him. So we come here to join with you, and we just think about the faith. You know, our faith is strengthened. My gosh, being around Pastor John and Suzanne, and then the leadership and all the different conversations we've had, the little ones here and there, and the lunches, you know, even with Jimmy today, I was just thinking, we get strengthened by one another's faith. We need each other. So anyway, today, it's a time to celebrate 10 years. 10 years. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of wonderful testimonies and a lot of heartache in this room. And the Lord, he rejoices with us, and then he comforts us and heals us. And then at the same time, he keeps saying, keep going. Come on. We're just beginning. You know, and so I wanted to look at First Chronicles 16. If you have your Bible, you can look at it with me. I'm just going to jump around in something, but in First Chronicles 16, it's where David what precedes that is David has brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He's brought the presence of the Lord into Jerusalem at the beginning of his reigning as king. And so he sets up a tent. The tabernacle of David. He sets up a tabernacle, and he sets the Ark of the Covenant in the midst, and then he gathers all the priests, the Levites, the singers, and the musicians, and they stand around, and he told them, we're going to sing to the Lord and worship him. But this is what he says in 1 Chronicles 16:4. It says, and he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. So today, I believe that's what we're doing. We're commemorating, we're remembering things that, over 10 years, and many of you, like myself, have a few miles on you, so you have a few more years added to that. So you've been maybe a believer for 50 years. How many have been a believer for 50 years? I'd just be curious. Raise a hand. Any 50-year-old believers? Come on. I see that hand. That's awesome. How many 40 years, just for fun? 40 years. My, oh my. Noreen, you're not that old, are you? You can't be that. You're only like 39. So anyway. So it is, but just think about that. So here we have 10 years that we're celebrating today, but the Lord sees all of our days, even before we lived one of them. Before we were in our mother's womb, the Lord remembers. But he calls us to remember and to celebrate. And so David understood that from the Lord, I believe, that we were to remember or commemorate the things that he's done for us. Of course, Israel, he was inspiring the people of Israel at that time to look back and see what God had done, all the different victories and how he'd brought them through all the trials and troubles and how he brought them out of Egypt and, you know, the different military victories and the different times he just showed his loving kindness and tender mercies when, you know, Israel went astray, but God remained faithful. Anyway, so, and then he tells them to thank. Thanksgiving comes out of remembrance, if you think about it. Yeah, you know, even our most difficult times, if we look back on them, we can go, God, you were with me. I mean, we're still alive today, you know. We're here today, even though we've gone through many trials and some severe trials in this room. And we look back and we see the blessing of the Lord too, don't we? Of course, for us, we can look back and see, you know, the cross. You know, the greatest act of love that ever was or ever will be was done by the one who loves us, knows us the best and loves us the most. The Lord Jesus himself, sent by Abba God to redeem us and to bring us to him. I mean, that's a lot to thank him about, you know, as we look back. So it brings thanksgiving. And then he tells us to praise, and worship comes out of that. I mean, this morning, the worship, it's just precious. You know, I know many of you probably, again, you know, we have good days, bad days, good seasons, bad seasons, but we're here in God. But today, the worship was so sweet. I mean, where's Jeremy? Is he around? Anyway, that was beautiful worship. I just thought that. And Jenny on the piano, I mean, when you just kind of went into that little piano, Selah too, you know, it was like, wow. You know, worship is wonderful, especially when we worship out of the gratitude, you know, as we remember and in gratitude, we fix our eyes upon him, and then worship flows out of that. Anyway, I just felt that it's precious to the Lord. The Lord knows our seasons. The Lord has heard our prayers. He knows the steps yet ordained for us to walk in. You know, many of us, you know, we go through hard seasons or good seasons or whatever, but God knows what tomorrow looks like. He knows us today. He knows what tomorrow looks like. And so we can look to him, again, knowing that God is always good. He's always kind. Even when we look back on our failures or we look back on history, again, we can go, God, you have been with us. You were with us in that valley. You were with us in that time. You were with us in that victory. You gave us the favor of the Lord. Your favor was upon us and is upon us, by the way. So anyway, I just want to say that today, even in this 10-year anniversary, that there's a lot to be thankful for. And we can worship God out of that place when we really think. And that's what you were doing this morning, which to me was glorious, just glorious. So thank you for allowing us to come and celebrate with you, Pastor John. I mean, you went over the top, by the way, about us, so... But thank you. That does encourage us. And we are always encouraged to come and be with you and your leadership team and all the people here. I just, you know, again, faces that we love and are getting to know. Tom, you're just, you know, you just are a great friend. And we appreciate you very much. Oh my gosh, Helen and Richard. I mean, I could go off on all of you. And there's that young couple in the back, Andrew and Noreen, we're getting to know them over the years. Yeah. There's Kathy and Wellington. Bless you guys. It's good to see you. Yeah, the Lord's with you guys. New season. Kathy, a new season for you. Beautiful season. Opening up. It was like a journal, old journal being opened up. And, yeah. Part and parcel, your whole life together is it's this beautiful testimony. I just wanted to tell you that. Linda and I were talking about you this morning. So the Lord wants to encourage you. Yeah. Every bit, every day is precious to him. Well, when I think about this house, when I think about this church, I think about it being, you know, it's a house. You are a house of prayer. You know, you're a man of prayer. You're a people of prayer. I was here Friday night, you know, the prayer and the prayers. And, you know, Helen's up in the middle of the night praying. You know, I heard she was up at 3 last night praying. I woke up at 3, but I wasn't praying. I think I did pray. Oh, God. And I went back to sleep. So, but the Lord hears our old God, too. My little, oh, you know, my groan. But, you know, anyway, faithful intercessors in this house. So I think of a house of worship, your house of worship. Again, today, just beautiful worship. Every time we've come, it's always been just precious worship. Even from the old days when Jimmy was leading, you know. I remember that. Come on, Jimmy. I'll break open that guitar again in the before the audience of one. And minister to the Lord in your home. It's beautiful to the Lord. And when I think of it, I think of a house of love. I just think of love. We always feel so loved on here. Really above. I feel like it's above what we deserve. But God is so gracious and so generous with us in his generosity and his love and overflow we experience from all of you. So thank you. Thank you. That's amazing, actually. I'm sitting there going, wow, how did we get here, you know? Because we all know us. Don't we know us, right? Everybody knows us. I mean, you know you. I know me. Linda and I know each other. We're going, Lord, you are so kind to broken people. But he says, oh, I am. That's what I do. Wow. I think of this as a house of healing. That's probably been one of the main things that stands out, that you're a house of healing, called to heal. And I was thinking about it, not just bodies, you know, there's been some real miraculous healing here. You know, there's testimony of that we've heard of and received and it's gone abroad. And there's also been some times when you've prayed and the people weren't healed, but they've been brought into the presence of the Lord. And actually right now, if we could see it, there's a great cloud of witnesses that some of those that we prayed for that didn't get healed, or maybe it was just their time to go. We don't know how that all works, but we know we trust God. But they would say, your prayers worked. I am more healed now, and I will be healed forever in God. You know. So anyway, a lot of answered prayer. But I think healing of bodies, healing of souls, of the mind, you know, just the Lord wants to heal minds. You know, we have the mind of Christ, it says. And the Lord wants to be able to, he wants to take us where we can come into agreement with him. Not to come in agreement with the accuser that's accusing us night and day that, you know, we join in with. And we look in the mirror in the morning and we say, oh, you know, God, am I even alive today? You know, I'm a loser or what? You know, just all those things that where we get, you know, bombarded with thoughts. The Lord says, now I want you to come into agreement with me. What do I think about you? Let me tell you. So it's a good conversation to begin in the morning. What was the scripture this morning, Linda, you and I read? It was out of Psalm 143. But basically, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Something on that order. But that's good enough. Just start off in the morning. Lord, what do you think about me today? That's a good way to prophesy. Prophesy to yourself. Come into agreement with what he says. You're a house that heals relationships. I believe that many relationships are healed in this house. That's what we're all. I'm only speaking of who you are. You've been doing this, but I'm also saying who we will be together. We're doing this together. House of healing relationships, of healing families. You know, God wants to heal families. He's a family God. You know, my favorite verse, or one of my favorite verses, is in Ephesians chapter 3. It's a prayer of the Apostle Paul, but it begins, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all the families are named on the earth. He sees us. He loves every family. He's a family God. He's a family. Jesus is a family man. Family God. Crazy, huh? He wants his family together. He cries out in John 17 before his Father, before he goes to the cross, you know, see the big cross. Before he goes, Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am. I want my family with me. I want my friends with me. I want these men with me. And all that, you think about all the entourage, too, that were following him, you know. His mother, you know, Mary, and all the different women that served. And he wanted everybody. He wants us with him. He's a family God. So I believe this is a place of healing for families. And it's a place of healing for the church, which is really families, but it's the church. I believe that he's bringing us to a place, and I believe just by being around the leadership here, and many of you, that we're kingdom people. We are kingdom people. We honor different families like we do. There's families and there's different denominations, different expressions. Every tribe, tongue, and nation, don't you know there's different expressions but that love the Lord? But we're falling in love with the nations. You know, the family of nations, the family of friendship. I heard it said once, the international family of affection. You know, you fall in love with your family. You know, even if you're mad at your family. I mean, you know, you can be mad at a brother. I've got a lot of brothers to get mad at. I have four sisters that still call me special ed. Anyway, that's just cruel. But anyway, but if somebody else messes with my family, you know, I'll be all over them like a dirty shirt, you know. Kind of a funny saying. Sorry where that came from. Probably out of my past somewhere. But anyway, you get the idea. I may be skinny, but I can bite, you know. So don't mess with my family. And that's the way, we're getting this, where we're falling in love with each other. You know, Thailand and Korea and, you know, China. You know, I'm falling in love with Americans. I mean, that's hard. But anyway, the Lord's stirring up his family. I wanted to say this. I feel like the Lord's inviting us into something. You know, he never pressures us. He doesn't pressure us. He gives us this wonderful honor and responsibility, but it's called free will. And I just go, sometimes I wish I didn't have free will. I wish he would just say, just make me do it. And he goes, well, I'll help you to make the right decision. But he wants our free will. He wants free love. He wants our love from where we give him love and willingly do that. And we willingly want to serve him. And we willingly want to help a neighbor because of love. And there's times when we don't want to do stuff. I don't know about you. I mean, I imagine there's times you don't want to, you know, go out and reach out to a neighbor, or you don't want to. You know, where's Stanley? Is Stanley here this morning? Is that guy named Stanley? No, anyway, there's a young man here Friday night. But he reaches out to his neighbor. Some days you don't feel like going over and say hello to your neighbor, you know. But because of love, you go, oh, okay, Lord, this is what you're doing. So I feel like the Lord's inviting us into something. And that's, it's going to be costly. It's going to be laborsome. But he's going to help us to do this. He's calling us. So I want to just start by saying this. I've been thinking about this. I guess we were on the plane. It's not necessarily a new revelation, but it was kind of new to me in some ways. But I was thinking about how we think about when we remember, you know, we think about what God has done, right? So we look back on what God has done in our lives and on, you know, in throughout history, the kindness of God. So we look back and we say what he's done, and that builds our faith, right? So we go, wow, you know, thankful, you know, again, we're thankful, and then we worship. And then I was thinking, well, then we see what he is going to do. So we have faith for the days ahead because we've read it in the Word, we've heard it preached and taught. And so we believe that Christ is going to come again and set up his kingdom on the earth. He's going to come back, and when he comes back, everything's going to be okay, right? Like, more than okay. It will be right. He'll be back. He'll be with us. We will be with him. And so that's in the future. We all believe that? Okay, so we're encouraged by where we've, you know, the God who was and the God who is to come. But what's stirring me was on the plane was, he's the God. What is he doing now? He's the God right now. So, what is he doing now? That's what I feel like he's inviting us to. You know, God, what are you doing now? Why am I here? Why am I alive? Why am I where we're at, where you all are at, and why we're in Kansas City? You know, what, you guide our steps, you lead us. Why are we doing what we're doing? And what it is, it begins a dialogue with him, right? How do you know what somebody's doing? You know, like if I don't, unless you ask them. You know, if I ask, there's Richard in the back, or is that an angel? That's Richard, right? Okay, I couldn't tell the difference because I just wanted to make sure. Because what I hear about you, Richard, sometimes, you and your wife, I'm wondering, you know, whether, you know, sometimes you entertain angels unaware, right? Anyway, I want to encourage you. But if I didn't know, do want to encourage you. You are just your heart of service and love. And your eye to see who needs help, you know, is known by this congregation. And so you and Helen, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your reach to us at times, at key times. But if I wanted to know what Richard was doing, I have to talk to him, right? I got to, Richard, hey, what's up? You know, I want to know what you're doing. I'd like to jump in on what you're doing. Well, that's the same way with the Lord. Jesus wants that communication, that communion with us. And so through prayer and through worship, we ask him, right? Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing in my workplace right now? That, you know, what? Show me what you're doing. What are you thinking about my family right now? You know, one of the things I've learned over the years is even just, you know, God, what do you think about Linda? Tell me about Linda. Because I really love her. But he, like over the top, loves her and knows her even better than I do. And so I'll ask him sometimes, just what do you think about Linda? Wow. I've had some conversations. I go, yeah, wow, I like that too. I mean, it'll be thoughts. I'm going, wow. You know, that's the point I'm trying to make is he's inviting us into this place of what he's doing. What he's done, what he's going to do, but today, we're alive today for a reason. And we have roles to play. And God's put us in our workplace in the right place. He's put us among the people that we, our neighbors that we live among. You know, the assignments that he's given us. The people that, you know, like Tom will walk into a hospital room as a chaplain. God has him there on a divine assignment. You know, maybe Jimmy, you have a divine assignment as you walk into a client or a prospective client. You know, and just any of us, a mom who's, you know, up in the middle of the night changing a diaper, you know, that's a, you know, that may be an opportunity where, you know, the Lord's eyes are always on us. And just that little prayer, oh God, bless my baby. God, help us, you know, take that fever away. It's precious to the Lord, but it's communing with him continually, not just when we come here, but out there. And I think that's what's marked this place. And Linda and I have talked about this. This place is loaded with godly men and women that are lit up. And God has you in these real important positions and jobs and roles that are rubbing, you know, shoulders. And by the way, that's everybody in here. But you're doing this. But He, you know, talk with him along the way and say, God, what are you doing? What do you want to do today? And just sometimes a simple act of kindness or whatever might be the thing that he tells you to do. And because he's there, but he wants us interacting with him. And by the way, this is not news, and I'm going to wrap up here just a minute, but I want to pray for us in a minute. But there's some challenges ahead. I mean, you know, somebody goes, what do you mean, ahead? You know, I've got some challenges right now. But there are challenges in life, and they're going to increase. It's like I see the waves just kind of increasing. Sometimes you see those gentle waves, and next time you know they're starting to build, and the wind starts blowing. And I've actually had a picture of this house, of this church, being built up on stilts, like you see on the coast of like Carolina and different places where they're really right down into the rock, to be able to withstand the waves that are coming, but also to be a light, like a lighthouse. This place is a lighthouse. It's like a lamp that, or a city set on a hill. You know, that's what Jesus said. But that, you know, is it just a house lit up, or is it the people within that are living and burning lamps, burning for God, each one of us, and that we all add to the fire, we all add to the light. Everybody is called here right now to be light bearers. And we do. If we love Jesus, the Holy Spirit's in us, and he wants us to shine the light. It's almost like, even as I'm looking at those windows, I just see, it's almost like there's no windows there anymore. It's like light just blasting out of this place. But it's just a picture, not just this place, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what he's wanting to do with the church. But the waves are going to come, and we read the news. You know, we don't need to get into all the theological, you know, when, the timings, and this and that. But there is evidence that the waves, that challenges, to put it lightly, are increasing. But also, at the same time, the Lord will not be outdone. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when he comes in like with wave after wave, you go, whoa, you know, challenge or darkness, wave of darkness or some attack, some temptation. I mean, just anything that he comes with. He's going to unload all of his artillery upon, because his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan wants to do. Wants to distract us, wants to get us off course, wants us to quit. But at the same time, the promise is that God's going to raise up a standard. He's going to pour out his Spirit. And he already has, and we've experienced that, but it's going to go to a whole nother level. So as the darkness increases, the lights increases. The world's going to make its way more and more known, the darkness of the world. But at the same time, the light of the church, God's calling us to be the church. And that's the invitation. He said, come on, let's do this together. It's going to cost you. We'll lay our lives down because of love. You know, a lover will lay his life down. You know, Revelation 19 says that we overcome the accuser of the brethren who accuses the saints night and day by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, loving not our lives even unto death. Yeah. When you get in love, we lay our lives down for our friends, you know. How many fathers or mothers run back into a burning house, you know, to grab their children and take them out and maybe lose their life. But they don't even think about it. They got to go save that child that they love. That's what the Lord's done for us. We are like brands plucked from the fire, Zechariah chapter 3. All of us are. And he's calling us into that same mission to be able to go out and partner with him and pull other brands that were burnt, they're burning, they're about to give up or quit. They might be believers. Many believers want to quit, but we can be there to encourage them. Keep them going. Don't stop. Keep going. You know. Or it might be an unbeliever yet to hear, a family member we prayed for years. Some of you prayed for years for family members, a parent or a sibling or a child, grandchildren, whatever. But the Lord says, don't stop. Just keep praying. I've got them. He can set up ambushes for them just like he did with us. There's testimonies in this room of it. So I want to just think of Acts 2:17, the promise of God. He said, in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's the Lord saying that. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your grandsons, your granddaughters will prophesy. Young men and young women will have visions. Old men and old women will have dreams. Upon my men servants and on my maid servants, all those that are in all kinds of different, you know, whatever. You know, we don't have to be the senior pastor. We don't have to be a pastor or full-time staff. We're in the marketplace. We're in life. We're in neighborhoods. He said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and they shall prophesy. In prophecy, this testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You can look it up, Revelation 19, 10, and 11. The testimony of Jesus. We get to do what Jesus is doing. Jesus, what are you doing? What is your testimony today? What is your testimony over this house? What is your testimony over your family? Your family, his family. It's his family, but it's your family. What's your testimony over my workplace? What would you like to do? What are you doing today? I want to do it with you, Jesus. And then, you know, I'm dull. I don't hear very good. I don't think I do. You know, but would you help me to begin to enter into that place of hearing your voice? I need you, Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to come rest upon me like you did at Pentecost. You say you're going to do that in the last days. We sense, Lord, there's days. It might be our last days. I mean, I'm not getting any younger, so my last days are approaching. But whatever time we have left, whether he comes back or whether we go to meet him, we want your Spirit to fill us. Jesus, we want to know you personally, just like you knew the Father, like you know the Father. And you only did what you saw the Father doing. That's intimacy. You know what the Father's doing. Would you teach us that? We need the Spirit for you to do that. Would you pour out your Spirit again upon us like you did at Pentecost? First great awakening, second great awakening, even in our world, our country. We've experienced those in the 1700s, 1800s. We're in need of that right now, Lord. Would you strengthen us? Strengthen us, the church. I believe he wants to do that for us today because we're asking. And I'm provoking myself right now. Linda, please remind me, as you do, to ask for this regularly. Ask, Lord, I want more of your presence. I want more nearness with you. Help me say no to this so that I can have a little time talking to you. Might be in the car in the beltway, you know, as you're sitting there for, hour and a half. Anyway, whatever. Talk to him, whatever it might look like. But get time alone with Jesus. And it would be, this is my prayer. And then I'm going to ask Pastor John, if you would, maybe what you were talking about, we could just do that. It might be a way for us to ask together. But I want to pray this, that the Holy Spirit would help us. He would make us miss Jesus. You know when you miss somebody, or you just go, God, you know, it's almost like to the point where we have to spend time with you because we miss you. You know, it's like when you're in love. When you were first in love, you could do anything, you know, to get to be with that person because you want to be with them, or friend, or just, I miss my family. I want to be. But there's a longing, I believe, that the Lord wants to give us, and that's for him. That the Father would cause us to, the same way that he loves his Son, that he would give that to us and put that same longing where we couldn't go a day without him. Or we might go 2 days and we might go, oh, you know, I say that a lot to the Lord. I'll get busy and I go, Lord, I miss you. And it's almost like I can hear him say, I miss you too, Ed. Yeah, you're busy. It's not a condemning way, but it's you know, as love, as we love, you know, you love somebody, you miss them. But it would be that, but and more. But it would be a love that would capture us, capture our attention, and draw our affection. So, Lord, we ask for that. I just ask for that for my brothers and sisters here. I'm asking for me. We're asking for us together, that we would experience a longing that we just couldn't put down. Lord, it's like when we get hungry. You know, we get hungry for food. What do we do after a long fast, or even a short fast, or maybe just hungry? We go, we got to get something to eat. God, I pray it'd be like that almost, where you'd cause our knees to kind of have a longing to pray before you. Would you do that for us, Lord? We love you. We love you so much. And God, we know we're just touching the edge, the hem of your garment in terms of your love for us. But I ask that you would, even today, as we just pray right now, we ask that the train of your robe, the train of your love, the train of just who you are, the revelation of who you are, would fill us now, would fill this little gathering place, this precious people that we are to you together. Would you give us an increase of your presence? We ask that our bodies are your temple, Holy Spirit. You know us, and you know our inward being. You know everything about us. We ask that you would fill our bodies with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Cleanse us. We need cleansing. Our thoughts, our minds, our bodies. Maybe cleanse us, you know, from areas of sin that we're aware of and maybe even not aware of. We just ask you to come. Fill us, Holy Spirit. We want to accept the invitation and really even a command that we would follow you and obey you and represent you and lay our lives down for one another, because that's what you do. God, would you help us? I bless these precious saints on this 10th anniversary. Lord, I pray that this next year would be a year of exponential growth, exponential encounter, exponential intimacy with you, answered prayers, even new prayers uttered and groans would come forth that would bear much fruit, Lord, in their families, in their marriages, Lord, in their workplace, in their neighborhoods, in this city, and beyond, Lord, even the nations that they pray for. God, I pray that you would make this would be a fruitful year that would lead into another year, yet more, yet more, yet more, until that day that you appear in the skies and your Father seats you on the throne and on your holy hill of Zion. Abba, we thank you that you hear our prayers and these longings. Though weak and unclear, we ask you to give us more. And answer, we pray, in the most profound way. Bless this house of worship, this house of prayer, this house of healing. In Jesus' name, amen.